Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we are going to start Unit 17, Libertarianism. And our topic is Political Theory of Libertarianism. It is claimed that the key concept of the political theory of libertarianism have developed over many centuries. The first linking of them can be found in ancient China, Greece, and Israel. They begin to be developed into something resembling modern libertarian philosophy in the work of such 17th and 18th century thinkers as John Locke, David Hume, Adam Smith, Thomas Jefferson, and Thomas Paine. In the 20th century, they were reinvented by neoliberal thinkers such as Michel Oakeshott, F.A. Hayek, Milton Friedman, Robert Nozick, etc. While these scholars have given a new intellectual impetus to the libertarian movement, a growing concern for personal autonomy has provided personal ground for the sowing of the idea. Some of the important concepts of libertarian theory are as follows. The first one is individualism. While the libertarian idea of individualism has certain family resemblance with the neoclassical defense of capitalism, anarcho-individualism, and classical libertism, it is reducible to none of these. Libertarianism can only be understood against the backdrop of the emergence of totalitarianism and the modern welfare state since the 1930s. Libertarians see the individual as the basic unit of social analysis. Only individuals make choices and are responsible for their actions. Libertarian thought emphasizes the dignity of the individual, which entails both rights and responsibility. The progressive extension of dignity to more people, to women, to people of different religions and different races is one of the great libertarian trumps of the Western world. Libertarianism represents the most radical form of individualism, short of outright anarchism. Along with it, it exalts the pure capitalist economy as the surest expression and defense of individuality. Nevertheless, near anarchism of some libertarian doctrines have prompted the expression of anarcho-capitalism. However, the libertarian defense of capitalism would legitimize a degree of economic inequality that true anarchists could not abide. The works of the Ayn Rand are a leading expression of the libertarian idea of individualism, even if it sometimes takes an extreme and occasionally unrepresentative form. A brilliant novelist, she developed the libertarian idea both in fictional works and polemic essays. Utterly rejected any theological notion of ideas that rank the community over the individual, she held that the individual is the basic unit of society, the prime focus of moral concern, and the sole source of human creativity. According to her, the root cause of our modern troubles is the philosophy of altruism, a moral position that effectively destroys the supreme value of individuality. Altruism, the notion that the man should place the welfare of others above his own, is the root of all evils and not money. Indeed, money is cherished as the just reward and fair estimation of the individual's inherent excellence. For Ryle, altruism is a vice and selfishness is a virtue. Though selfishness does not mean a petty, sniveling self-indulgence, but accepting full personal responsibility for one's life and faith. Altruism is the villain of the piece because it plays upon the morbid guilt feeling of the donor and keeps the recipient in a state of childish subservience. Neither party can develop a mature, confident outlook on life, which should culminate in a fair and equitable and truly voluntary exchange of goods and services. The ethics of the altruism is always gratuitous. It preaches that someone has a prescriptive right to a free ride on someone else's back. According to this theory, the notion that one person should sacrifice himself for the sake of another is radically evil. It is an affront to human dignity and an open invitation to prefer death over life. Now, the point of discussion is individual rights and liberty. Central to libertarianism is the claim that the individual should be free from the interference of others. Personal liberty is the supreme moral good. Hence, one's liberty can justifiably be restricted only if he consents to the restriction. Any other restriction, including taxing incomes for the purpose of redistribution, is unjust. In other words, the libertarian couch their theory in the language of rights. Each individual has natural negative rights to at least life, liberty, and property. No one can justifiably harm him, restrict his freedom, or take his property. That is, no one can violate his rights without his consent. Moreover, these are general rights. They apply, so to speak, against the whole world. And since rights invariably have corrective duties, all the people in the world have the duty not to interfere with the right holder's life, liberty, and property. Each person possesses these rights simply by virtue of his humanity. He does not have to do anything to obtain this moral protection. The possession of rights does not depend upon the consent of others. They are essential moral constituents of personhood. They are not granted by government or by the society. They are inherent in the nature of human beings. It is intuitively right that individuals enjoy the security of such rights. The burden of explanation should lie with those who would take these rights away. Libertarian theorists often move back and forth between talk of negative rights and talk of liberty. This, according to Hugh Law Poet, is because they ultimately see rights and liberty as equivalent, or because they hold a theory of rights which is grounded in personal liberty. There are no circumstances in which the negative general rights can be justifiably overridden, in which one's liberty can be justifiably limited without his consent. For example, A's right to property or life or liberty can never be overridden for the benefit of others to satisfy the alleged positive rights of others. A can choose to charitable give his property to someone, or he can voluntarily give something to a positive right to his property. Nevertheless, morally he cannot be forced either by legal sanctions or moral rules to give up his life, liberty and property. This moral or legal prohibition ensures that an individual's liberty cannot be restricted in any way without his consent. In the context of rights, what is important to note is that libertarians make a distinction between negative and positive rights. For example, take the general right to life. In its negative version, it says that only others must not kill or take the life of the right holders, but in its positive version, it would also require that others do something to help save the right holder's life, if it is possible for them to do so. The importance of this distinction is that libertarian holds that the people have no basic positive rights, that all positive obligations have to be in some way assured or undertaken by the obligated individual, that is, by promising that he will perform the indicated action. Thus, we see two important features of libertarianism. First, the primary purpose of negative general rights is the protection of individual liberty, to ensure that no one's life is restricted without his consent, or, as Nozick puts up, side constraints which are equivalent to negative general rights. Upon action reflected the underlying Kantian principle that individuals are ends and not merely means. They cannot be sacrificed or used for the achieving of others' end without their consent. These constraints reflect the fact of our separate existence. They reflect the fact that no more balance act can take place among us. Secondly, the libertarian holds that the sufficient reason to reject any alleged moral rule or principle of distributive justice is that such a rule or principle restricts someone's freedom without his consent. Hayek, for example, argues that we should not reject plans to expand governmental role, since such expansion necessarily undermines the individual liberty. And Nozick's primary objection to Rawls is that Rawls took principle restrict individual liberty without consent. As mentioned above, in much political and moral philosophy over the centuries has concerned itself with human liberty. However, the philosophical outlook on politics known as libertarianism takes this idea to its extreme, proposing to make liberty the only interest that a state may properly have with respect to its citizens. Libertarianism takes liberty as our sole right, against considering liberty as the sole value to be promoted by the government and the individual. The point of making liberty a general right is to prevent the government from forcing people to do things. According to it, our sole fundamental right is the right to liberty. All other rights are subordinate to that. They are either special cases of that one or derived from it directly or indirectly. Just like concept of negative rights, libertarianism also emphasizes the negative aspect of liberty, that is, liberty as absence of imposition by other people, specifically those imposition that are caused by the international action. In this version, each person is to be entitled to do as that likes or judges best, except only when his or her action would impose on others, would interfere with the intended desired courses of action of someone else, or damage that person in the sense of doing what the person did not want to be done with or to his or her body or mind. It is, as Hobbes called it, absence of external impediments or seeking peace, that is, of not making war on others, or as Locke termed it, not harming them in respect of life, wealth, liberty, or property, or Kant's version of acting only on maxims that can coexist along with the freedom of the will of each and all. These have been echoed in contemporary American philosopher John Rawls' formulation of a liberty principle that each person participating in a practice or affecting by it has an equal right to the most extensive basic liberty compatible with a similar liberty for others. What is important in all these versions is that the emphasis is on the negative liberty people encounter each other, and in doing so, they are to refrain from actions that would cause the other person harm, danger, disease, and the like. Any other actions are permissible whether or not they have the effect of maximizing something. Again, caution is also thought to collide with liberty. Libertarians also take liberty as the absence of caution, and they condemned it along with overforce. Liberty is the absence of obstacles imposed. Cost and coercion does not impose a cost on his victim. The natural baseline to which libertarian appeal for liberty is our body. The libertarian hold that we ought to make anyone's liberty into a right. That is, we ought to make it the case that imposition or proposed impositions against anyone's liberty is a ground for taking action or rectifying or prevent them, and that what the libertarian principle does. This right is equivalent to the right of self-ownership. Each person would be regarded as owning himself in the same straightforward sense as that in which we can own our all sort of things, such as cars and footballs, namely being to do what one wants with the self in question. At the same time, one is not able to do that with others. Rather than willingness or consent must be established before one many dealing with others. And last but not least, why would people value liberty? For the libertarian, liberty is not another good like peanut, but butter or a car. It is rather a necessary condition of action, in the sense that if we do it, has to have been the case by definition that nothing prevented us from doing it. Liberty is the condition of being able to do whatever it is, the liberty to do which is in question. In other words, it is not really up in the air whether liberty is a good thing or not. Liberty is a good as whatever can be achieved by acting. According to libertarian, liberty is not a value, it is a condition of action. Here we want to wind up today's lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.